You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, what if I told you there was an indicator set that worked well in all markets, from gold to soybeans to E-minis? What if I told you it worked well across all time frames? Would you believe me? You don't have to. Test drive our platform and indicators with live data for a full week and see how CFRN can change your trading forever. No strings attached, no credit card required. Get started today at www.cfrn.net.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 28th day of April, 2011. Post-Fed day. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 14.5 points. The S&P is down about a quarter of a point. And the comp is down 8.5. That's the news. Michael, what do you got?
Beyond that, the pending home sales was a big change this month. Way off of what the consensus was. The consensus was plus 1.7%, and I think it came out plus 5.1%. So a lot of people were looking to buy homes at this level. Beyond that, the initial claims this morning came in quite a bit higher than anticipated. So it's sort of a mixed bag of news today. We hit a yearly high on S&P cash today. So you know, we'll see if we're going to put in a turning point here in the market. It certainly looks pretty toppy right here on an intraday level anyway. It looks toppy up here around 1355 when we couldn't get back there to the overnight high.
Did you watch the Bernanke thing yesterday?
I did not.
Well, we were still on the radio when he began to speak, and it was historic, and there were some people in the trading room that wanted to hear it, so I left the broadcast running. I left the podcast running. We broadcast the entire thing. And, I mean, we had talked prior to him speaking and taking live questions that it could produce incredible volatility in the markets, and it didn't. It was like he was on some heavy sedative, the markets were on some kind of sedative, and the disconnect between what he said. And he was very calm, very cool, very collected, never got ruffled. I mean, let's face it, nobody in the audience threw him any fastballs or curveballs. They just kind of lobbed him up there. And that's okay. I understand that's how these things typically work. But the things he said, the disconnect between the words that came out of his mouth and the actual reality of what's going on in the world today, I don't see how they could be any, you know, the unemployment rate, as you just mentioned, continues to go down. Stocks are rising. Corporate profits are rising. Wall Street continues to make money. But the reality really is that this recovery that we supposedly have had in our economy, it's never been a strong recovery. And a lot of the key metrics in this so-called recovery, they've not only failed to move higher, but they've gone south. And we have to remember that the Fed fully has its foot on the stimulus gas pedal. I mean, they've got the pedal to the metal. And this morning, we got the numbers that economic growth, our GDP, was at 1.8% in Q1. Now, the estimates were for like 3 to 4%. That was what economists would consider normal. Now, after a recession, especially one as severe as the one that we just had, typically what you would expect is a growth rate of about 5 to 7%. That's evidence that we're climbing out of the ditch that we just ran into. But there's no evidence. Interest rates are at zero. Not only are we still fully vested in QE2, but as he spoke yesterday in that sedated manner, I saw visions of QE3 flashing in his eyes. I mean, we're still spending all that money, and real people still don't have jobs. What was the number this morning? Jobless claims ticked above 400,000?
Yeah, 429,000.
Okay, that's initial jobless claims.
Right, that's initial claims. Continuing claims still at 3.6 million.
And some people have already fallen off the radar screen. So you got that initial claims number over 400,000. The continuing claims you just said was how many?
3.64 million.
Okay. And then there's a whole bunch of people that they can't even track because their benefits have now ran out.
Right.
They're leaving flyers on your door asking if they can cut your grass, perhaps. Or they, who knows what they're doing? Because this economy, with all the money we're spending, it's not turning itself around. We're not creating jobs. The economy is not being truly stimulated. And the Federal Reserve, for the first time in history, calls a press conference so that they can very calmly tell us everything is going to be okay. Well, I'm here to say things are not okay. Things are pretty lousy. We've got 9% unemployment. If back in 2007 you had told somebody that in 2011 the unemployment rate would be 9% and that we would find that encouraging, they'd have said, well, I guess the Armageddon thing's really going to come true. Because that is a horrific number. And he went on there with a straight face. He didn't have an Ed McMahon. He just went on there as a solo act, and he just looked us right in the eye and said, things are good, man. We're on track. He's got a new favorite term. What is it? Transitory. We're in a transitory state. You know, it's kind of like we're thinking about climbing out of the ditch. We're not actually in the process of climbing out. I mean, we heard that, you know, the economy can't turn around until there's a floor in housing prices. So the government did what they shouldn't have done, and that stepped in and tried to put in some artificial floor underneath housing prices. But that's not how markets work. And so the price of houses has continued to plummet. And from a historical perspective, even though houses are worth a third, most houses in major metropolitan areas are worth a third of, or they're selling for a third of what they were selling for 5 years ago, 6 years ago, historically those prices are still maybe high. And so until this bottom, and so trillions of dollars can't prevent the inevitable. And that's that water seeks its own level. So, you know, I just want people to understand the reality, and a lot of people do understand the reality, that what he said on TV yesterday and what he said on this podcast is so disconnected from the reality of real people and working men and women, or men and women who want to be working, that it's just, it's absurd. It's positively absurd. So, where we go from here? How do we get out of this mess? What does it take? I don't know. Inflation is bearing down on us. And they say, oh, there's no inflation. Well, gas is double what it was a year ago. Food is more expensive. Healthcare is more expensive. The insurance on my car and my house is more expensive. And the house I'm insuring, it's costing me more to insure the house that now is worth a fraction of what was paid for it. Now, there's a word that came out of the 70s called stagflation. Okay, that's not a happy word. It's crappy economic growth combined with wild inflation. And it does two things. If you're trying to save money, it kills you. And if you're trying to run a business, you get punished severely. And eventually it takes a toll on stock prices. This morning we had news from Procter & Gamble. They said that their margins are getting slammed by rising commodity prices. So they have no choice but to try and pass along those costs to us. So, bottom line is the economic recovery that we were told yesterday is on track and we're all going to be fine. The truth is, I'm going to tell you, Ben told you one thing yesterday, I'm going to tell you the truth today. It's not going well. In fact, it's going badly. And when this QE2 money runs out, if they don't do QE3, look out. Because they got their foot on the gas right now. We're sputtering down the road at like 45 miles an hour with the foot fully on the gas feed. Man. So, guess what? When that runs out, I'm not saying they should do QE3. I didn't think they should have done QE2 or even QE1. But when QE2 runs out, although it hasn't had a measurable effect on the economy, it hasn't gotten us out of the ditch. When that foot comes off the gas pedal, see how quickly we find ourselves fully back in that ditch. So that's my take on the economy right now. I wish I could find some bright spot for folks out there, but I don't see one.
No, I don't either. When the assessed values of the homes, you know, the amount that you're going to be taxed on is more than the appraised value of the homes that we're living in, that's a bad sign.
Where are we at in the markets? We got 13.52 and a quarter on the S&P 500. Now, we had an overnight high of 56 and a quarter. Those of you who follow the Twitter feed, we had a tweet going into the close yesterday that you could buy 13.52 on a stop. If you did, we ran up to 56 and a quarter. So there was a potential for 4 points in that trade. But it was a two-sided tweet. It said, buy 1352 on Globex open stop, or sell 1349 stop, whichever happens first. Well, the buy side, as you can see on the screen here, that happened first. Ran up through 52, ran to 56 and a quarter. And so after that happened, I then retweeted and said, okay, we got that side of it. If you're interested, you might be able to catch the other side of it. And sure enough, we came down through 49. And if you sold that on a stop, it took you down to 46.75. So that was a nice one, worked out in both directions. If I see anything setting up tonight, I will tweet that out. So stay tuned. This morning, you see the drop, the low. That was the one I just mentioned. We put in a lower high here from the overnight high. You can see our bars turned blue off the open, and we climbed. Here's the opening bell. Candles go blue, bullish, and we climb from 1350 to 54. So we had a 4-point move. We go sideways a little bit, and then we add an additional point to that, taking us to 55, but we still don't quite take out that overnight high. And then our candles go bearish, taking us back down to 1351, which is, see, that sounds like a familiar number. Yes, it is. And we bounced right off of that, okay? Right off of the 1351. You can see it here on the screen, and we're at 5275. So all I'm going to do, and we don't monitor the cash markets in the live trading room, but we have members who do. And GP, thanks. You brought it to our attention a couple of occasions this morning that the S&P cash was, in fact, putting in new highs on the year. And so, you know, everything I just said about the economy and about Ben Bernanke, people could go, well, hello, the S&P 500 is at a, you know, high of the year. How can you say the economy's not doing good? Okay. I know people who don't have jobs, and they could give a rip where the S&P 500 is right now. That means absolutely nothing to them. The S&P 500 putting in a new high today, it didn't create any new jobs. It didn't put any of those unemployed people back to work. Well, okay, that's a far-reaching statement. I'm sure it put somebody back to work somewhere. But you know what I mean. The fact that the stock market is putting in highs and some hedge fund managers and some traders are making money off of that. Okay. There's a job. The hedge fund manager who has the home in the Hamptons or in Connecticut, he can afford to pay his gardener this week, you know, or hire a second gardener or a second housekeeper. Yeah, there's some job creation for you at the low end of the wage scale. So, anyway, I respect the fact that there is a new high in the stock market on the year. I just don't think it means anything to the man in the street. And that's who I identify with. I don't identify with the other guys. I clean my own house. I cut my own grass. I wash my own car in one of those drive-through machines, but I still wash my own car. So, anyway. Michael, you got anything, or you want to go to Vegas?
No, let's go out to Vegas. I know we were trying to keep this hour.
2 days ago, let's see, Tuesday we went 2 hours and 42 minutes. Yesterday we went 3 hours and 15 minutes. Today we're going for an hour, guys. That's it. 1 hour.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well. Michael is with us. Michael Bork.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, David. How are you today?
I am all right as well, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, doing well. Boy, you are right up on that microphone, man. That's, you know...
I am.
I hope I'm not quite as... Okay. No, you sound fine. You don't sound bad. I mean, you just...
Your audio level sounds the same to me, Michael, so... And yours,
okay.
Yours does as well, David. How about mine?
Okay, well, good.
Mine...
You sound great, Dwayne.
Okay, well...
I know you've got a little fear about your headset, and, you know, you've been through a lot of trauma... Over the
I'm over that.
Headset. You should be over that. You've got a good headset. Now, this is always buy the cheapest product. That's what somebody told me many years ago, that when you have a wide range of products, always buy the cheapest. And it sounds really bad at first, and over a lifetime, it started to seem like that was really wise. So, something to consider.
That's what worked for me.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been that way with my handling of... you know, my purchases and things, and maybe I could use a little bit more of that, you know, because really in the end, for the most part, what you find out is that little tiny things that they add into products, they start charging fatter and fatter amounts to get that little tiny thing. But the basic product that you wanted originally, is that's all you really want, and that's usually the cheapest product. But then as you start getting anything added to it, they start adding, you know, it's the add-on, and that's where you really pay extra for it. And so anyway, so somebody told me that many, many years ago. Very wise guy. Very wise man. Wise guy has a different connotation. He was a wise man. Anyway. So let's see. There's a lot going on. Do you have anything you want to start with, Dwayne? Or?
No, I've covered everything.
You've covered everything.
Everything that I need to cover. So we just want to hear what you've got to cover, and then we'll consider ourselves covered.
Okay. Well, That's quite good. Where to begin? Let's just see.
Wayne, you're so funny. He says a wise guy gets it for you for free.
Yeah, that's true. That's
well said. Fell off the truck.
That's right. The wise guy gets it for you for free. But yeah, the wise man and wise guy are two dramatically different people.
Which brings up an interesting new TV show that we talked about this morning in the live trading room. Perhaps you've seen it, perhaps you haven't. It's called Mob Wives.
I have not seen that.
It is like a train wreck between Jersey Shore and Real Housewives of Orange County. It is like if you surf past it, it's one of you can't stop looking at it. It's just
really
that out there. Yeah. These mobbed up wives in Staten Island. It's
okay, that's interesting. I want to say this, that there is a new genre developing, at least in the little TV that I do get time to watch. There's a new genre, it seems like, of TV developing. This mob thing that you're talking about, maybe one of them. Glee is another one that a lot of men might not like Glee, but it's really a remarkable program because it is so different. It's literally a musical. Is what it is. Most like you said, a train wreck between the mobs and the housewives. This is like a train wreck between a sitcom and a musical. And really, for those of you who are appreciative of great remakes of songs, this is really one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. They take music that has been already done, whether it's Queen or you name the band. And then they do it, and in many, many cases, you walk away thinking that was even better than the original. It was so good.
Now, they use that auto-tune software that I talked to you about, David. That's why every person on the show has perfect pitch.
Right. I don't know that every person on the show is really the person singing. I just know
they actually are, but they run them through that. Supposedly the backstory, is that it is them singing, but they're not... And I don't want to ruin a show for anybody, but... They auto-tune them, and that's why everybody has perfect pitch, and that's why supposedly their ratings have fallen. And I understand people who are enamored with the show. I find it very interesting, too. Some of it, I think, is a little controversial and over the top, and if I had a teenage son or daughter, I would not want them watching that show. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. No, it is. They're just like all new edgy things.
It is edgy. Boy, there's no doubt. Yeah.
They're introducing ideas and sexual concepts and mm-hmm. things. They're throwing things in there to try to make, you know, to try to get a response from people. And so there is some of that in there, and that's a good warning, you know, as well for people who may have children, et cetera. But aside from the fact that they're auto-tuned, the arrangements of the songs and the way they put
agree.
Together
is the talent is huge.
Beyond, it's over the top. It's so good that it's hard to fathom. I've only seen the show 3 times, but I know, and I've heard some of the songs on iTunes. It's just amazing. Mm. They somebody who has a severe case of musical talent is directing that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Somebody who suffers from musical talent. That's a better way of putting it.
Well,
so.
they just did their Lady Gaga extravaganza. That was like the big episode of the season. And it came up the same time slot as the new show, The Voice. And the ratings mm-hmm. were just horrible. And some people are starting to kind of turn from that show the way they turn from that British show, Skins, because it's gotten a little too far over the edge, even for some of the edgy crowd, you know.
All right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to go down in history. Those kids are so talented, and even though they can auto-tune their voices, you know, you still got to have.
That's the least
if you take a really bad voice, you can auto-tune it all day long, and it's going to still be a bad voice. I mean, these kids are incredibly talented. And you can't auto-tune those dance steps. I mean, they got some moves. Along with their voices, they can dance. I mean, they truly are. Remember back in when we were kids, what was that show? Fame.
Yeah, Fame. Remember that?
Remember Fame?
This is, you know, that's actually a great connection. That is what this is. This is the new Fame. Twisted around modern new Fame. Uh-oh, I'm sensing a text message coming in from somebody saying, please get to the market. I'm good at this now. I can read it. I don't know who it is.
We haven't pressed that button yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Just double checking. No, it is. It's like a version of Fame.
And what was her name? The lady, the teacher with the walking stick she would tap the floor with. Debbie?
I don't remember.
Oh, what's her name? Anyway, she was on, she was coaching a couple of the kids last year on mm-hmm, So You Think mm-hmm. You Can Dance. Debbie Allen? Is that her name? I don't know. Somebody out there will know. Okay.
Well,
anyway, there's
a new genre of TV, it seems like, starting to happen. The you know, just like if you, right now, and we'll get on to the markets. If you go back and take a look at TV shows in the 80s, you can see a definitive difference between TV shows in the 80s and, you know, especially TV shows, say, even in the 90s. And then if you go to the 90s to the 2000s, there's another substantial change. I think we're right at that point again. We've got the 2010, and we're starting to see these new, a very different, where you walk away going, that's unusual. That's a very different take on TV, and it's switching again. So, you know, what we just went through the last 10 years is going to be considered quaint, you know, in a few years because of the new stuff that's coming out in TV, the new push for, I'm not saying that it runs on a perfect 10-year, you know, cycle, but it appears that, you know, I was watching a Charles Bronson movie the other night that was made in 1985, and it's just such an anachronism. I mean, he was great. He was a really fun guy to watch, you know, go out and kick some tail. But, you know, it's such an old, anachronistic look and everything. And, you know, it just that's just the way things go, you know. It doesn't have – it's not charming necessarily like the 40s and 50s are. Maybe we have to have more years before the 80s will appear to be charming, but at least to me. But it seems like every 10 years we break into a new whole genre for TV and a new whole edgy thing comes out. I remember when Miami Vice came out in the mid-80s, and that was just a mind-bender, that program. The music and the whole thing, you know, remember all that with Tubbs and Crockett or whoever? Anyway, that, you know, they drove the Ferrari Testarossa, the white Testarossa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I never talk about this, but I just want to, I'm just going to say it on the radio for kicks. I ended up getting a white Testarossa in the 80s. Because of that show.
Well, I just want to say this. Before that show ever came on TV, I wore loafers with no socks. So there you go.
Well, so you were ahead of the curve.
No,
so
I was
you,
ahead of the curve.
You took, yeah, you were ahead of the curve. I was behind the curve. I thought that was such a cool looking, you know, car. And that was my 80s were my big years for really, you know, being ridiculous with cars. And but I had a fabulous time in it. It was magnificent. And not that I wanted to be either one of those guys. I just thought the car was really neat. And I did the same thing, by the way, with James Bond in the very early 80s. When James Bond came out in The Spy Who Loved Me, which was a movie, one of my favorite James Bond movies with Roger Moore in it, he drove a white, again, Lotus Esprit. And that white Lotus Esprit in this movie, the one we're talking about, Spy Who Loved Me, ends up in a car chase, and it jumps off of a dock into the water and turns into a submarine in the water. And I thought that was the coolest thing that had ever happened. I just was just so amazed at the car, the way it looked and everything, and I ended up owning not a white Lotus Esprit. They didn't have it. I couldn't find one. I ended up with a black one. Don't ever get a black car because they're way, way too hard to take care of. You know, everybody knows this. You know, you polish them, you make them look perfect, and they stay perfect for about 25 minutes. And then dust and everything else, before you know it, it just black looks terrible unless it's perfect.
And if you
but
live
anyway,
in the desert, they get a little hot.
They do. And listen, I had a run there with people, you know, movies and things that had cars in it that made me excited about them. And those were two of the big ones, the white Testarossa and the Lotus Esprit. I still, to this day, if The Spy Who Loved Me is on TV, I'll watch it. I just think it was a fabulously done movie, and I still love it to this day. If you haven't seen it, check it out sometime. Has that text message come yet?
Actually, we lost our charts. We lost our connection. I'm trying to get a hold of Bert to see what's going on. I'll have to turn you on to a podcast. There's two guys that they're going through all of the 007 movies,
mm-hmm.
and they spend more time per podcast talking about the movie than the actual length of the movie. The movies are like 2 hours. They spend 2.5 hours dissecting each little thing about each different movie and why they like it and why it was different from the other and what was, you know, correct to the... I listened to one episode. It was pretty interesting. I'm not that big of a Bond fan, but if you are, I'll send you the link to their podcast. They've completed the series now, I think. But need some mindless entertainment. We got some.
Well, there you are. Well, I think it's time to get to the markets, Dwayne, before that text message comes in.
Hopefully you got charts. I've got data. I just don't have charts.
Okay.
And
they may
Wayne
be experiencing a problem of some kind.
Issue.
You know,
let me see.
That happens with inferior data packages.
Oh, get out
sure.
of here. That's just cold. Bert, he's talking about you again.
Yeah, I'm sure Bert's feeling about a million phone calls right now.
Yeah, hey, Bert, David dogging your data package again.
No, it's a good package. We actually are using it here, not as our main stuff, but we, because of the reflected wave course, we have that and a couple of other packages that are at the office now. So just checking, you know, doing the stuff with other packages to see if everything works the same and all that. So anyway, do you want me to wait a little bit here? Because I can, break into Tap Dance or Shadow, Wall Shadow, hand puppet thing.
Somebody just told me that they had data on the 6E, and that was the only thing. I'm just trying to check and see if I'm able to pull up 6E data. Bob says my
name
just
came back.
Bob says my name's not Alan, but will you tell me about the beans? And now David,
I just got my charts back. I logged off and logged back.
I'm having Johnny bring it up here as well. Johnny's bringing his up here as well. We'll check. And Dwayne, you might want to log off. It could be just a server issue.
I logged off and logged back on.
Okay.
And I have data. I can, my price ladder, I can see price flowing. It's just not translating to the charts. A couple people have said their 6E is fine. In other words, Bert, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, not much. How about you?
Well, no, Johnny's not getting charts either.
We got no charts. Can you
Bert,
help us?
How are you?
Good, David. I got charts.
Can you break out a
Yeah, mine just came back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, David's got a good point. Try logging off and logging back in.
I already
in.
Did.
Maybe that's...
I'll do it again.
Just trying to yell at it.
Just to be...
That's what I do.
Compliant.
That's good. Yelling at it is good.
And then Leslie helps me.
Okay, there's a log off. As you can see from the little red button, disconnected. And now, the log on. We are connecting. Connecting.
Tell him to use 100 points from entry. Go to a 5-minute chart, Wayne. Maybe.
There we go. It's coming back now.
Let me use 100 points. It's monetary right now. There's no, you know, there's no confirmation.
Okay, I got 6E, but that's the other guy said they have 6. Oh, now they're saying the ES is back. So let's give that a try. Yeah, I guess it's coming back slowly. Okay, somebody says 6E. Yeah, I got the 6E. So, anyway, David, just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
All right. I will.
And I'll take
it. Please.
All right, I'll be quiet.
And thank you.
No. Okay, let's see. You know, we could go another number of different ways. Let's take a first look at the 10-year bond, because we had a trade in this the other day. That Bert had sent out, and today they've originally, we had forecast them to advance up to, this was back on I think April 25th, for them to advance up to 120.23. Then we were expecting a reaction off that, and the next day this is the June 10-year Treasury notes, they did hit exactly 120.23, which was our initial target. They did react off that yesterday, and then they continued on up and completed the next target. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. What was the next target on the upside, or do you know?
Actually, today's high.
Oh, 121.03 was the next target, and that's today's high. And so they're reacting off that. And then there's a third target up at 121, I think, 15?
Yeah, right? It's actually 121.13.
13. Okay, so we've hit two of these targets, and this particular trade is a good example of the market doing really just following exactly the whole premise of the trade out, which is that there's an initial target, there should be a reaction off that, and that's where we take initial target. The targets have been hit to the tick, the market advanced today and continued and got the second target, and we do have a third target up there that will potentially it'll continue up. This is for aggressive traders at this point after we've hit the second target. Today's gap on the bonds, particularly on the 10-year, is a very important indication, and there is the potential for substantially higher prices. And this helps us because now I feel that we have both the 30-year and the 10-year under our belt. And really, it wasn't that long ago for me personally that I had trouble with this market. I really wasn't able to fully understand how to tie in the way that the market moves from tick, tick, tick. Because we talked about this before, that, you know, tick value actually plays a part because there's a certain percentage of movement that you never, you know, if the market goes from, you know, 1,200, like on the S&P, let's say, and the next tick is 1,225 cents, well, that means that you can't trade ever at 1,210 or 1,211, 12, you know, all that's taken up. So that slack has to be accounted for, the fact that the market can't literally trade at those numbers. Anyway, the bonds work in 30 seconds, and it was just a weird thing. But here we are now making forecasts and calls in this market, and I believe that you know, it's just a result of experimenting with it and watching it for a period of time, and it worked out very well. And so I'm very comfortable now with this market, and it's another market that we can put on the list of markets, you know, that we can trade and give free trades out for those of you who are getting those trades. And you would get those from Birch Lichter at Daniels Trading, and you can he's online with us right now, but I'm going to just give out their phone number real quick, even though it's been given out before, and just in case there's somebody new on the benefit of somebody that's new. It's 1-866-928-3310. And what Bert is, how this plays out is Bert will put you in the emailing list, and anytime these trades are put out, you'll get it. And then at some point, Bert's going to ask you to open an account there. You're not under obligation to do so, but if you like the trades and you like the fact that you can make some money with them, why not? Why not have him? Why not trade it there? Because he's able to even trade it for you if you have a vacation or a wedding or something, you know, that you have to go to and you can't be there. It's actually kind of nice to be able to say to the broker, hey, you know, can you cover me on the next, if they come out with another trade, you know, put me in, and
oh,
he's ready to do
me,
it.
I've got
he's
a
got
wedding
experience
to go to tomorrow.
What's that, Dwayne?
I said that reminds me I have a wedding to go to tomorrow.
Okay, well, there you are. So Bert can trade it for you.
They say my invitation got lost in the mail.
Oh. You know, that kind of humor is just as cheap as this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I childproofed my house, but the kids keep getting in. Something like that. Little humor there. Anyway.
Now I'm going to get up at 3 a.m.
Or 5 out of 4 people have problems with fractions. Something like that.
That's pretty funny.
All right. So let's move on. Let's start. We started with the bonds. Did you want to say something, Dwayne, or?
Nope.
Or try to battle my humor? Come back and forth. See, I didn't get the laughs. You played the laughs for your.
You know, I need two laugh tracks, really. And I want some random noises of people like coughing in the background and scraping a chair across the floor and maybe rattling some dishes, you know, like when the guy's clearing off the table. Yeah, I'm working on those. It's going to be very lifelike.
All right. It's going
to
be very good.
Either that or I'm going to hire the guy with the two wooden blocks to make the sound like a horse galloping. You ever seen the old radio shows? Ever seen videos of the old radio shows and how they do the sound effects? Yeah. Okay. It's all digital now. It kind of takes the fun out.
Yeah, it's all
of
digital
it.
Now.
Maybe that's how I can stimulate the economy. Instead of using all these digital sound effects, we can actually hire a studio audience. We can get the guy with the two wooden blocks to make the sounds and a little thing so it sounds like you're walking upstairs and the creaky door and all of that. There you go. We can do
Listen,
our
we
part.
Don't need to stimulate. We don't need to stimulate the economy, Dwayne. We need to stimulate the common sense section of our president's brain.
Okay.
That's what we need to stimulate. Thanks. I'll move on.
Okay.
All right. That's when we get the text messages. Could you guys do the markets? All right. Let's move on here. We've got a couple things of importance, and unfortunately, a couple of missed opportunities here. I did mention yesterday. And this is not for people to trade, but and we have not put it out, but I'm just mentioning it for the CFRN listeners to watch this. I mentioned yesterday that both the 27th and 28th were potential bottoms in the copper market. Copper. This is the July copper market. Bert, if you're online, I don't know exactly the number structure here, but I know that copper is trading roughly at $4.25 right now. Where I'm forecasting it to go is from effectively today's low of 422.50 up to 433.50, just roughly. Okay. Now, is that a $10 move or is that a 10 cent move? What is that?
Let me do it real quick.
Okay. Anyway, while he's working on that, and we just jut in when you have it, this would normally, and again, there's something I want to say about copper. This is a market that gaps tremendously. It's always gapping. There's always a gap for some reason. And in our work, a gap can mean, even though a cycle can occur in the gap, this is a way of saying it, so that instead of something ending, you know, you have a gap and the market moves down and puts in what looks like a bottom, it actually is starting something right there for a continued move. So it can be tricky in a market that does a lot of gaps, where you could say, well, okay, this would normally be a bottom here, but the gap actually is the cycle, and that actually is the market's not bottoming. It's actually going to continue to go straight. So I have to work out how to handle that in this market, how to be able to ascertain that the gap doesn't indicate that the cycle took place in the gap, if that makes sense, and that the market really is just going to continue on in one motion and rather than reverse. Well, we're calling for, and again, don't trade this, just watch this over the next couple of days, we're calling for a bottom on the 27th/28th in copper. I mentioned this yesterday and the day before, and then a, whatever Bert's going to tell you, increment, a decent trade up from $4.22, it sounds like it's $10 to me, but I'm not 100% sure, up to $4.33.
Yeah, the bottom line is this. Let's say you took the recommendation, all right, just for the shakes of it. You bought one right here at the market.
Yeah.
All right, market's at $425.75. Okay. And it goes to the forecast level of $433.50.
Okay.
All right, what does that mean to you? That means you made 775 points. What I'm doing is, to make it real simple, I'm dropping all the decimal points.
Okay.
So that's 775 points, and then write down 1 point equals $2.50. All right? So the profit potential from this point to the target is $1,937.50.
Hmm.
Okay. What's
that's
the margin? What's the margin requirement? Because these require you to hold them overnight.
Mm-hmm.
$5,738. The risk right now, I'm assuming David would probably say an hourly close below 422, or you know, especially a daily close under that would negate the.
You're good, Bert.
That would negate the roadmap. So, I mean, see what happens.
I'm gonna take a vacation and hire you to fill in because I need one.
At or near, close to.
Yeah, that's right. You got it all. Okay, so listen, for those of you who, this is just for maybe more, slightly more experienced or maybe more advanced, whatever term you want to use, watch copper. Watch the July copper contract. There is some money to be made in it if they confirm. If your own work is starting to show that long positions are indicated here, then it might be wise to take a little shot at it. And one thing you could do if you wanted to, and this would really limit the amount of money you made, but it would also very much help the probability of this being correct, because we're very new to copper. We're doing it for institutional people who have a stronger interest in copper for whatever their reasons are. But so we're really watching it, and I wouldn't give this out as a trade either to you, you know, in the free trades or as a institutional trade. But one thing you could do is you could dramatically limit your profit, but have a higher probability trade by waiting for an hourly close or a daily close above 428. That means there's only about five points or whatever it is left. It cuts it in half or less what you would get, but it would increase the probability of the trade being correct. And I always believe that, I mean, it's obvious, it's not even a belief, it's a fact, the probability trumps the static risk.
There's
so
a question, do you have a call option on the copper trade?
There would be,
you could,
could you do that?
The problem is that that's an illiquid. You're gonna,
it's very illiquid.
Yeah, you're going to have liquidity problems.
Yeah, the futures are illiquid, let alone the options.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, here, I'll just take a look at the, electronically, I don't even have a bid. If I, you know, 430 call is 1,500 points times 2.5. You're going to drop about $3,500 just to do that.
Right. It's not even worth it.
It's not even worth it.
Yeah. It's not worth talking about.
The next question is, do they have a mini contract? Believe it or not, they do. It just doesn't exist. Don't even touch it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is kind of like the big boy trade where, you know, it's institutional grade or...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It is.
Your risk tolerance is real high, so...
Yeah, for some reason, the institutional people seem interested in that market. It may be because they're hedging against other positions they have, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, let's take another thing here. I don't know if any of the listeners are in gold and silver, but we have in our personal, not in my personal, but we trade for a fund, a private person, my business partner and I trade for this guy. And we've sent the statements to Dwayne. He's seen some of the stuff that we've done. And in that, we are long in silver with a different kind. It's not the actual metal. It's a something that moves tick for tick for silver. And I can't remember what it is.
SLV.
That's what it is. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. And so it's a pretty sizable position. It moves. It's $17,000 per dollar of movement. That's the size of the position in silver. So he's got this position on, and we've been in it for a while here. And now that silver has reached, or very close to, I don't have silver up right in front of me, but has it not gotten to pretty much close to $50?
Yeah, today we got up to $49.56, and earlier this week we had a doji, and the high on that day was $49.84.
Okay, so here's what I told him, and this is what I'm just telling this to people who may be in silver and want to consider this, because this is just something to consider. Many, many years ago in 1980, the Hunt Brother run-up in silver went very close to or hit $50. That's 30 years ago, if my math is correct. Here's a principle. The longer an old high remains, the harder it is untested, the harder it is to get through it. Now, simply on that idea alone, 30 years have gone by since the Hunt Brother high in silver. And here we are testing 30 years later the Hunt Brother high in silver. If you're long in silver, this would be a really good point to consider taking some of your positions off. We started today and we exited 10% of our position, and we're probably going to continue day by day now, because this is a very critical level. Now listen, the market can indeed spike that high. We could get above $50. It's not a magic wall. It's just that in order for the market to really get above there and stay above there, can close above there on sizable time frames, very difficult to do. Because 30 years has passed since that old high was originally made. And that makes it extremely important. So for those of you, if anybody is, this is something that is a suggestion. It's obviously I'm not commanding anybody to do this, but it's a suggestion that you seriously consider at this point, today, right now, that you consider exiting some portion of your long silver position if you are in the position of long at this point, because of that test of that Hunt Brother high. Very, very important thing has happened by them doing that. Now, we never really did touch 50. We've gotten down, I think today was 49.56 or something.
Yeah, we got really
close. We're very close to it. I'm sorry, Dwayne?
We got really close.
We got really close, and that's the close enough for me. I don't need to see the 50, and I'm just, and we could test it. We might even see 52, 53, but in the end, it's going to be hard to close above that level. So for people like Dane, who's the fellow that's trading this account, I'm in the background. You know, I don't physically trade it. I'm actually just doing some analysis for him and giving him suggestions on stocks and other things, and on the metals as well. So my suggestion to him has been is just to take 10% off or more today. So this is something I just want to mention. Just keep that in mind. I mean, this is, I think we're at a very critical juncture. We're coming into a very critical juncture right here, because they're testing that. Even if they get above it, 52, 53, whatever, we're going to be watching how the market closes in regard to that level on monthly and other time frames. This is a very, Michael Bork once said this, and I think this is probably the key statement about these metals. They're highly emotional markets. And that means that there's going to be a day where silver goes down $20, something like that. And I don't know what the limits on silver are. I'm not absolutely forecasting that type of thing. But I'm saying when people want to rush for the exits in a market like this, it can move huge amounts of money in a very short period of time. So I like getting out on the upside. I like getting out when everybody's still feeling really good. That makes it easier. Later, if they gap down big, then people are waiting for it to come back out and promising themselves they're going to get out. They do the exact opposite that a person does with a losing position. So, you're holding, hoping to come back to break even.
Thing on silver, and very, everything you just said, I don't disagree with any of that. That it's a historic high. you're locking profits, there's going to be a pullback, any number of things. But I think until we see silver go to where internet stocks and houses went, it's going to continue to climb. Because we reached a point with internet stocks where people, as you like to say, the taxi driver or the guy at the gas station, knew that if he wanted to make money, all he had to do was go buy some .com stock, you know, Yahoo at $300 a share, and he would become wealthy. And we reached a point with housing where it didn't matter how much a house cost, you would do whatever it took to buy it because it was a no-brainer that it was a good investment because everyone believed that nothing bad could happen to housing, that it could only go higher. With internet stocks, people began to believe that whole new economy thing, that nothing bad could happen, that these companies didn't really need to make any money. They just need to issue shares and take venture capital and have great ideas. And everybody believed that. Until we get to the point where everybody believes you can't lose money by buying silver, that's when it's over. That's
okay.
My take.
That's one way to think about it. I would caution you not to try to make the same exact obvious thing that happened in a housing market play out. I mean, I know you don't mean it this way. I mean that you don't mean it's going to be exactly the same way that everyone's just absolutely positive that, you know, silver is just always going to go up. But what you're basically saying is, you know, you don't see yet all the flush glowing.
The mania is not there yet.
The mania there. Even though silver is now up, you know, more than 10 times its original value, and the dollar is continuing to go down and all these other things. But for me, and the way that we try to trade, you can't always do what you want to do in trading. But at this point, we can because we have gotten close enough to 50, and we did exit some of our positions, you know, for the purpose of, because I like getting out on the way up when they're hitting these important levels rather than waiting for pullbacks, et cetera. And if we do get higher, we're going to just continue, for those who are interested, we're going to continue, and we'll talk about it as it happens, to exit those positions in whatever kinds of chunks as the market continues to go up. I found a long time ago it gets very, very tricky trying to get out of positions and hold on to profits once the market starts on the downside. Because what you do is you say, well, gosh, as soon as they rally, I'm promising myself I'm going to get out of this number that I did have an opportunity on the way up, but I waited, and I, you know, on and on and on. And then they don't give that to you. It happens to be the big decline, and you lose a lot of your gains. So I just stopped doing that. I don't do that anymore. And I trade for my fiance's stock account. I help Dane, you know, with my, you know, just with analysis and things on his account. So I'm doing everything I can to make sure that we get out on the way up rather than on the way down. So before, what Dwayne said is very true, that the markets tend to get so bullish and so frothy and everyone's so excited about it, and that ends up being, in many cases, very close to the top. So we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. But I like the idea of exiting some here. So we've hammered that point pretty good. And let's move on to some other interesting markets here. Let me just take a quick click. So copper, keep an eye on copper. This is, again, I want to see if we can call this correctly. And if you watch your own stuff, if it starts to lean in that direction, then take advantage of it and make some money on the upside. Let us know, please, if you do. I'd be curious to see if somebody's able to. And then always protect yourself. And I do like what Bert said before, and I'm going to hire him on vacation. If they do get an hourly or daily close below 422, I would probably want to be out of that at this point because the time cycle has run. This is actually the one day late for it today, the 28th. So, you know, keep an eye on that. This, again, is July copper, so watch that. And then...
I got my air conditioning guy showing up here in about 10, 15 minutes, so...
Okay, I'll be done here very shortly.
What we need to cover, in particular, I've had requests for beans and, of course, for the ES.
Okay, let me just go right to soybeans. We'll wipe the other ones off for right now and we'll go right there. Okay, we had been originally calling for an April 25th top in beans, or should I say good morning, Alan? A little humor there, because Alan's the guy that always asks.
Actually, it's not Alan today, but... I think
I know, but I'm just trying to let me take a look at this. Yeah, we had called for an April 25th top in soybeans and an initial decline of 26 cents, and they, of course, have gone much further than that now. This was a nice trade. I would have liked to have put this out to the group, but remember, we didn't get up to the minimum price that we wanted to see, which was 1402, 1403. As it turns out, in the July contract, they got much closer to the proper price, and we were looking at the May contract at that time. So it may have been the liquidity that blocked us effectively from being able to put that out. So, you know, here we are, just missing the good trades as usual. And there is a date coming up, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, that April 29th is the next important bottom, I believe, in soybeans. So we want to watch into tomorrow. Today is Thursday, and we do want to watch for the potential for a bottom. Important turns occur at important prices, so we want to make sure that we're trading at an important price on the downside. And then we will have a very potentially tradable advance off of this decline here. So this was a really good example of the use of turning points, the use, by the way, of reflected wave in calling a top or a bottom in the market and being able to put a trade on based on that and tying that in with price levels, which can be very useful. And then let's get over to the ES real quick. There are a couple other markets, but we'll save them. I know you got your air conditioning guy there, and we'll your comfort is our biggest concern, Dwayne.
Thank you.
So is your air conditioning out?
One of my units is leaking Freon. So my guy came,
okay,
and he filled it up the other day. I have two units in my house, and
okay,
it's not leaking at the unit. Unfortunately, wherever it's leaking out, he's got to go with his black light, and he's got a sniffer. And he's got to go up in my attic and try to find, it's probably just a little pinhole kind of, because he filled it up last year, and it took a full year to the day. Because when we opened up the unit, there it's written, filled with Freon on this date. Exactly 1 year ago. It took 1 year for the Freon to escape. So.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Very hot,
it's very hot.
No, the weather's really nice right now.
You have a two-story house, so you've got the upstairs that really has to be heated or cooled as well. Okay, for the S&P, the S&P broke out above the April 21st top. And that's a very important indication. And at that same time, as I mentioned, the S&P had also set up a weekly top for the week of the on-time week was the 25th, and that's this week. We could run into the 1 week late, but interestingly, we are sitting right now at a April 20. Again, remember, the dates are sometimes are going to be the same, or many times they can be the same in different markets. The same as copper is making a bottom here, we do have an April 28th date for S&P as a top, and that would normally indicate an approximate 19-point decline off the then current high. So today is April 28th. Today's high, we had put in our support and resistance panel 56. Let me just double check this. 56, and then the next level above that is 58. This is a fairly important juncture. The market is indeed hitting a very important price that's associated with this cycle. So
we hit
this,
56 and a quarter overnight.
I'm sorry?
We hit 56 and a quarter overnight.
Right. Okay. So because of that, we've got two very important factors going here. I think it would be wise to wait a little bit longer here, but that's what we're looking for. In the S&P is for the market to top. So for right now, I think the wise way to handle this, whether you're a wise man or just a wise guy, would be to
mob wife.
Take a look. Yeah, or your mob wife. To be let the market, let your own work, perhaps you're using Dwayne's and Michael's indicators. I like the idea, by the way, just for people who are using that and are part of that, I kind of like the idea of using that as an entry mechanism, where that might give you an entry, and then this is just my personal thing, and then using that entry as your place to begin the position and hold for longer term targets that perhaps you get through our work if there's a big cycle turn coming. So that's kind of what we have here. So I kind of like the idea of you entering on either the Dwayne and Michael type of setups or your own or perhaps some other once you're in, then you want to hold and get paid for your time being in the market. This would require overnight positions. So today's high on the pit session, so to speak, has been the overnight high was 56.25. So they've tested that. And Dwayne, are you taking a shower, or is that just me hearing that sound?
I hear the sound too. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's the AC kicking back on. Okay.
That's the AC kicking back on. Okay, that's powerful. A powerful AC. Anyway, so here again, let's just summarize what we've got here. We've got the S&P potentially putting in a top today, April 28th. 56 to 58 is a very important level on the upside. That level corresponds with this particular. There's a lot of things coming together right here at this point. The minimum we'd look for is a decline at or near approximately 19 points off today's high. So keep that in mind. That's tradable. That's a usable thing. It does and absolutely will require an overnight position. Check with your broker to find out what the margin requirements are for that. If you can't do the margin requirements on the overnight, then if the market does break down tomorrow, even if it does spike a little higher, if it starts to break down because markets are tricky before they make big moves, then just look throughout the day to try to find an entry on a pullback to be short. And then you'll almost certainly make some money on the downside. And so there are some couple other interesting markets today, but we'll pass on them today because I know you've got to run, Dwayne, and we'll put it all together tomorrow if you want to do that.
Okay, one quick last question. How can this be a daily high if last Friday was the daily high? Well, I'm not sure I understand the question, but maybe you do.
Well, if I'm getting his question correctly, last April 21st was a daily top, but in triggering or in putting that top in, it was coincident with a weekly top. And I don't know if the listener was listening yesterday or not, or when we've talked about this before.
I think Wayne was in. This is a different Wayne, but I think so.
Okay, and so when a weekly is set up at the same time that a daily is, it means that the weekly rules. So what rules this market is the weekly, not the daily. Now, having said that, the market moved sideways for one day off of the April 21st top and its top and then suddenly blew through it. That tells us that we got the weekly call correct because the power is there to – the evidence is there that they were able to blow through something off the daily chart, a daily top, which would normally be an important top. April 21st was an important date in a number of other markets. And normally that would be the case. But because simultaneous with them getting up to the April 21st top, that triggered a cycle for the weekly top. The weekly is what rules. And so you can't say you weren't surprised, but we're really not surprised to see the market move higher. Now, having said that, now that it's done that, there's another indication that even though the weekly rules the market now, at some point the market's going to turn, and it's going to turn on a day. A specific day, and that day we think is today, April 28th. So that's where we are.
So we aren't looking for 1384 still, or are we?
No. We definitely that's still the next. Remember, 1384 is just the next natural target on the upside. We don't have an outright forecast for the market to immediately disadvantage.
So we're going down before
we've
we go
just
up.
Been warning.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Basically, we're going down before we go up.
Yeah, well, I think that would be the case.
Okay.
You know, we're in a position here where they have the room for a pullback here. We've just been warning people in our nightly report in the longer term section for several weeks that in spite of the fact that the market is, you know, done what it's done, it looks like it's toppy, in spite of the February forecast for a top and the big decline and all that stuff, the fact is that there's a lot of hints in the market that they wanted to go higher, and that has worked out. The market has been moving higher, has broke to new recent highs. And we've been warning people to be careful on the short side because of these warnings, one of which was there's been several of them. I won't go through them all right now because I know you're limited on time. But the fact is that we have broken through. Then we got the cycle for the weekly top, April 25th weekly top, plus or minus a week. It'd be plus a week. That indicated that the power was still on the upside as well. So we've been warning people to be very careful with the shorts. I've been mentioning it on your show for a number of days or weeks, whatever it's been. And they have now broken out to new recent highs. So if we do get a pullback, watch how they handle this pullback because this will give us further indication whether or not we can trade towards higher prices, which the natural target on the upside was, is that 1384 that we talked about before. We're a lot closer to 1384 than we were just a few days ago. A few days ago, we were 50 points away. We are now, you know, 28 points away at 56, you know. So we've already cut that in half just in a very short period of time. So that's basically it. Let's see how they handle this. I'm going to wait a little bit in my own trading on today's indication for the 19-point decline. I may wait into tomorrow, depending on today's close. But this would be normally a daily roadmap. And one other answer to the fellow's question, you know, you had a top here. How do you have another top? Sometimes people expect these turns to go from top to bottom and then from bottom to top, and sometimes they do. But under conditions like this where a larger force blows through a smaller force, then we need to go and use a different tool to identify the next potential top. Like I said, even if it was a monthly top, some day inside that month is going to mark the top. And so right now, inside of this weekly top that we're forecasting, the day is today, April 28th.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking for, and I hope to put this together with you tomorrow when we have some more time, because this could be a really nice trade.
Great. And tomorrow, guys, we're going to do something different, new, kind of interesting with our question and answer session. And so I need you all to be here, and I need you to participate. But it's going to bring a new dynamic to the show. I haven't worked everything out exactly, but I'll do that this afternoon while I'm supervising air conditioner guy. And I think it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you all here tomorrow. David, thank you so much for everything.
I do have one last thing I'd like to say. Even though you're thanking me, I have one last thing I'd like to say, if I can.
Go ahead.
Okay. We do have a live webinar today at 1:30 Pacific time. For those of you that might be interested in just hearing more about reflected wave, we have a seminar coming up in August. And if you are interested, you can go to onlinetradercentral.com. Both myself and Bert will be at this webinar. We're going to go into details, take questions and answers on it, and see if there's something there that's useful to you, because turning points are a very big part of my work. You know, without going into great detail, it's been very successful for me. I think it can be successful for others as well. And we have, you know, that's the webinar's on today. One thing that Dwayne mentioned yesterday is true, that if you do sign up with them, they will start bombarding you later with, you know, emails for all kinds of different things. You can simply accept those emails and figure you're just going to continue to get them, or you can opt out and save yourself the trouble of getting a lot of emails from Online Traders Central. Online Trader, singular, central.com. And then hopefully we'll see you there today.
Now, are you like on the front page when somebody goes there? Or
I think so. I think we're somewhere near on the front page because today is our day, and I think that it goes down sequentially.
You don't have an actual link on your blog on your site?
We don't, because in giving that, we don't have a link on our site.
Okay.
But and if you miss today, there will be another one at some point in the future, but they're fairly limited. We just do them from time to time. And so
OnlineTraderCentral.com.
And look under Page Trader, and we'll go over that. You can ask questions and all kinds.
And guys, then, we'll go somehow you can't find it there, then you can always call the office, call David. What's your toll-free number?
Our toll-free number is 888-231-4702. I'm very happy to chat with people. A number of your listeners have called over the years. We've had a lot of conversations with people, and so you're very comfortable calling. No one will ever pitch you on buying anything, especially on the on this seminar type of stuff. You can just go, listen to it, see if it's something interesting to you. And I think, in my own personal opinion, that there's no superior turning point methodology. And on this radio program, over the years, I've given out hundreds of accurate, correctly called turning points. And using this methodology for the most part to make every one of those calls. So it's been very useful in my trading. It may be in yours as well. So come to the seminar, take a look, and see if it's something useful for you. Dwayne, again, thanks for being on my show, Dwayne. Appreciate it.
Air conditioning guy still hasn't shown up, so I'm gonna. I've got some really good radio spots, but not all radio spot guys are as good as other radio spot guys. I thought I had it right here.
I think Bert was asking for you, Dwayne.
Yes, sir, Bert.
Pull up a 6E chart, just a daily.
Okay, hang on a second.
That people were looking for the crack in the dam in the euro currency. That means they may be a potential top or a selling opportunity. I think one is presenting itself today.
All right, I'm going to play a sound file that I know David will get a kick out of, and I'll bring up that chart daily on the 6E. Oh,
by the way, the air conditioning people are always late, Dwayne. Late is on time.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to pull up the 6E daily chart if I've got charts. But, David, again, this is a spot I had made for your seminar that did not pass the sniff test.
Oh, okay. This is funny. Go ahead.
Let me get it up and running. Okay, I got to go to here. I got to open it up over here. You know, after 12 rings, they should figure I'm not going to answer, but oh well. Okay, here we go. You're going to really get a kick out of this. And remember, this did not pass the sniff test.
Hey, traders. Would you like to know when the next daily market top will occur?
So, that's wrong. That one didn't pass the sniff test either, but that's not the, that's not the really good one. Where'd it go?
Hey, traders, would you like to know when the next daily market top will occur and sell it short for a sharp decline? Or how about buying the next hourly bottom and nailing a fast 8-point advance? Look no further than Reflected Wave, because Reflected Wave does all that and much, much more. Reflected Wave is revolutionary and gives you the ability to easily and quickly determine exactly when the next market top or bottom should occur on any time frame, whether it be every 5 minutes, hourly, daily, weekly, or monthly. Everything from minor to major reversals. Reflected Wave is predictive by nature and pinpoints the exact price bar where the next market reversal will occur. You'll know days, weeks, and even months in advance when to place a trade. Reflected Wave correctly forecasts whether the next turning point will be a top or a bottom. Nothing else at any price can give you this. Reflected Wave is 100% objective. Your turning point indications are as accurate as those of the master forecaster himself, Mr. David Williams, who has personally appeared live on CFRN daily for the past 5 years. Reflected Wave turning point forecasts do not change once they are issued. Timing accuracy is plus or minus 1 unit of time, and is virtually the same on each time frame. Reflected Wave is tradable in real time and allows you to go long or short far ahead of most indicators. Reflected Wave has worked exactly the same for decades, but has only been taught to a very select few. Now is your opportunity to learn what those select few know and once and for all stack the deck in your favor for the rest of your trading career. David is about to share this info once again. Warning, only experienced traders need apply. Just a few seats remain for the upcoming seminar. To learn more about this unusual and incredible opportunity, tune in live Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern to www.cfrn.net. For immediate information, call toll-free 1-888-231-4702 and be sure to mention CFRN for a special bonus.
All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever
wow,
you
Dwayne.
Are. Yep. I got to go, air conditioning guys.
All right, Dwayne.
We'll talk
that
about that
great.
Tomorrow. I'll send you a copy, okay?
All right, Dwayne. Thanks so much, you guys. Thanks for the listeners as well today. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-host and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.